Today's guest is architect Peter Hunt. He's lived in Santa Barbara since the early 70s, practicing architect since 1980, and today's discussion is the tale of two plazas, housing at La Cumbre Plaza and improvements at De La Guerra Plaza. Welcome to Radio Real Estate, Peter Hunt.
Hi, Mark. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. I'm doing very well, and I'm glad that you listened to part of the program where we were discussing De La Guerra Plaza, and so I'm very anxious to talk to you about both plazas and housing developments in Santa Barbara. And I'm going to start by reading a letter you wrote to a paper about La Cumbre Plaza. And this is Peter Walker Hunt, he goes by, a local architect. And he wrote, "Honest debate about development for about 2,000 residential units at La Cumbre Plaza is addressed in our general plan." Vehicular? Is that how you pronounce that word? Vehicular?
Yeah.
Sounds like something else. Vehicular traffic circulation element is discussed, and the plan suggests additional vehicular streets, specifically an east-west street between Las Positas and Hitchcock. Plan shows it would bisect the golf course and arrive opposite Stanley Drive. Bisect the golf course. I have to explain that. And then I'll finish. 2,000 new units will transform the north side, impact the surrounding community. Without new connector streets, our quality of life out there will diminish. We deserve deliberate and sustainable planning. So first of all, the plan shows it would bisect the golf course. Does that mean the road's going to go through the golf course?
Well, that was one scheme. In order to do that, you'd have to build a trench through the fairways. The other plans that the city has, it goes along Macaw Avenue, and you may know where Macaw is. It's behind Loretta Plaza, and that's how you arrive at the clubhouse there, municipal golf course. And then it would either do one of two things: go down Terre, and then go along Santa Maria Lane and Monterey Pines Street, and then hook up with Hitchcock, and whereupon, how would it get from Hitchcock over to La Cumbre? The second way that plan from Las Positas would go along Macaw and then drive down the service road of the golf course towards the freeway, and then go behind the houses on San Jose Lane. Those of you that are looking at a map right now might understand this. And then it would go behind, there's a county area, Peach Grove and Apple Grove, and continue westerly and hook up at La Rada. And La Rada is that one block long street that's right behind the theaters there. What do they call them now? The Theater Bistro or something. And it's right across from the Tesla dealer, and go into Hope Avenue. And then there is an old plan that shows what it would then connect into La Cumbre Plaza. So that's one way to bisect it.
And this is not you talking. This is you echoing what the city near-term transportation improvements are studying?
Yes, that's what that study is from a number of years ago back. Another thing that's probably more important in terms of the immediacy of all those residential units being planned for La Cumbre Plaza is, imagine you're on La Cumbre Road and you're at the intersection of State Street and you're heading towards the freeway.
You know what? I've been there many times and I take a nap when they hit the red light.
Oh, exactly. And then the light goes green and you head towards the freeway, and at the first intersection there's a stoplight there, and you can turn right and go into the Five Point Center. And if you do that, of course, you could drive up to State Street and then circle around. Or when you hit that light, you can turn left. I mean, you could turn left and drive past what used to be Vons and now is the
Bristol Farms. I know what you mean. There's the AT&T
shopping center there, and there's a bus stop in that area, and then you can continue right through to what is now Macy's and the other commercial areas. And on this particular map the city has, they said, hey, we could take that road right between the old Macy's and the shopping center there, the Lure, and take it right on to Hope, and then we could make a cross street there.
Wow, right through the shopping center.
Right, well, there's a road right there. I mean, it's just a walk street, but have you ever been to the Collection in Oxnard? They drive right through the middle of the, they have oceans of parking around, but you can drive through to the stores. Hmm. And I actually park in front of a store, and there, that's a fairly new shopping center, maybe less than 10 years old.
We're talking with architect Peter Hunt, and he's recapping the city's near-term transportation improvements. He emailed me this, and I printed it up in color. So I'm looking at it as he's talking to me and understanding it much better now for the first time. I'm sure it's difficult if you're just listening, unless you're really familiar with the area. But, man... And when did they do all this? This is a long time ago, right?
They started, a long time ago. In 2007, the AIA did a charrette. Then after that, the city did this Upper State Street study. And then they looked at it again and made more recommendations for the general plan. And this is all, it is in the back of the book. This particular one you and I are looking at right now is page 4-26, figure 9. But it's there.
Well, if anyone's interested after the program, you could email me at mark@radioreallestate.com or text me at 452-2428, 452-CHAT, and I could give me your email and I'll email you this so you can take a look. It's reminiscent of what I heard and remember about Old Town Goleta, that their plan was to connect and do a street parallel to Hollister on the ocean side of Hollister to get over from almost 227, I think, to maybe Fairview. I don't know if you remember hearing about that, but that's been on the back burner for a while.
Mm-hmm. Well, because it's reminiscent of the street grid. And as we know, in Santa Barbara in 1870, they put a street grid in, and it reflects what went on in the Renaissance, and the Renaissance picked up after the Middle Ages, and before that, the Romans had invented the street grid. You know, and they were for donkeys and carts and things like that. And so downtown, if you were to go from State Street and, let's say, Carrillo State Street down to the freeway, there would be four intervening cross streets. And if you were to lay that plan over on top of La Cumbre and say, and lay it on top of Hope Avenue, where State Street stays the same, by the time you get to the freeway, where Hope hits the freeway, that would be Castillo Street. And in between, we know that there's Chapala, De La Vina, and Bath Street. And so there would be three cross streets. And downtown, they can accommodate all that traffic because they have a lot of people living downtown. And now that you add 4,000, 2,000 units, maybe 4,000 people, where are people going to go? How are they going to move back and forth?
You're saying if you add 2,000 to 4,000 units at La Cumbre Plaza?
If you add 2,000 units and there are two people living in each unit, that's 4,000 people.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Because I joked, when you asked about the intersection of State and La Cumbre, It's murder. I mean, there's just so much traffic there. And so everyone's scratching their heads thinking, what are they going to do with all these, 2,000 units? And so do you think the city would have to build these streets prior to any development?
Well, it would seem to me that you have to have infrastructure, and that's streets, sewers, and water, and all that. And supposedly I think they have the water for it all, and the state certainly does. But what about the roads? I mean, that's certainly the city's responsibility, and that's why we have a planning department, the community development department, and the building department, and the city council, and that's their responsibility. And they have been looking at it for the last 15 years in these various plans, and the latest general plan. So if somebody needs to point this out, I talked to the city council person for the 5th District, and they're aware of it.
Right, and obviously they're aware of it because, I mean, it's their own design. And the question is, are they going to be held accountable to, route and accommodate all this new traffic if they grant these building permits? My guest is a local architect, Peter Hunt, and we're discussing the potential units being built at La Cumbre Plaza, and then a city plan that's in writing. It shows them wanting to create streets from La Cumbre to Hope, and then over to Hitchcock, and then all the way over to South Ontario, and then all the way over to Las Positas. Kind of a parallel to State Street. And I found it interesting that the owner of Sears, which, you know, would be a great residential area, he ended up leasing out to a couple of people for like 7 years. So I'm thinking, he's thinking, nothing's going to happen for the next 7 years. Do you think that's true?
Maybe. Certainly, everybody that's been up there, Sears has an incredible view of the mountains and the foothills, and particularly if you put another floor on it. I mean, gosh, those would be like the view penthouses of Santa Barbara, and there it is right adjacent to Hope Ranch. But, yeah, if they've got to rent it out for 7 years, they're...
You're playing the long game.
Yeah, that's the long game.
And the... I think it was, is the Mark that's on State Street, you know, the apartments mm-hmm. that was built, MARC, I think it is. Mm-hmm. Was that wasn't built on the church property, was it? It was another project that's going to go on the church property?
Yeah, so when we, the AIA, had our first charrette about the north side, we had it there at Grace Lutheran Church, and what came out of that meeting, besides all these plans we're talking about, they built the Mark there, and right across from Chuck's, and there it is.
Well, I bring it up because I know there's a lot of input coming from the state mandates, and everyone's kind of complaining locally, and they're trying to, you know, have one rule and a set of rules for every municipality, and instead of having, you know, the locals all want to do their own thing. And one thing they talked about was, converting from commercial to residential, and then these the real estate for church is that maybe they could add and keep the church, or in this case, Grace Lutheran. But you know, what's funny is that we didn't get affordable units from that at all. The Mark apartment is high end, expensive units.
Uh-huh. How about that?
Yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, yeah, who's running, you know, the show? I mean, you look, if you're a private enterprise and you have land, are you going to be able to build and make money by creating affordable units? I mean, what's the city's plan there?
Well, Mark, you're in real estate. You know, there's the law of supply and demand, right? And then if you mandate that you build affordable units, are you repealing the law of supply and demand? Ha ha ha! I mean, where do you get the money?
I agree. So I agree. And you know, it's so do they try to double the density so a man could then say, okay, I'll build the apartment building and I'll have twice as many units and they'll be smaller and they'll be affordable and I'll get the same income in the end. Is that one answer? Is that viable?
Yeah, I guess so. And another one is they get funding and from the state or from the federal government, and essentially that's really just tax dollars, isn't it? So it's everybody's paying for that. They're just having their taxes raised. So that's where you get the money to build the demanded housing that's affordable. So
it is right. Everyone is claiming and crying for affordable housing. And yet everything is so expensive. Land is expensive. Construction's expensive. And you're right. You're right. The tax dollars. Now, I've interviewed over the years the housing authority, you know, the city and the county.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, off the top of my head, I can't remember how they're funded because they certainly have built affordable units.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if that's straight tax dollars or are they getting donations? People donate land to them? I'm not sure. But they've been successful.
There's a various, you know, they call it various sources of funding, and I did some of the ones affordable housing that they were doing back in the down along Cota Street and Haley Street years ago, back in 2010, and not on the show, but I could show those to you. It's interesting what the monthly rent and what the interest rate would be on those loans, and how they don't compare, or how they do compare. But getting back to this, Mark, I think you have a good take on it. I'm glad you're bringing it up.
Well, it's just, you know, I don't meet anybody who says, oh, this is a great idea. You know, let's add 2,000 units. And again, they're not going to be affordable. And it's just an ongoing battle between the state and local municipalities. My guest is a local architect who only makes a living when he builds something. Do you... what's most?
I'm for building buildings, absolutely, and building housing, and you know, Mark, the way it works, probably most people know this. You look at the zoning and it says you can build 10 units, and they say, "Hey, well, let us build 12, and the other two will make affordable," and then the planning commission says, "Okay," and they do it. Now, in this instance here, we'll see how that works out. How many will be affordable?
Right, right. Because that's a lot of units, a lot of money, and you're right. I'm very familiar with, you know, build 10, get 2 bonus. At least what they did, and a lot of those would be for sale units, and at least what they finally did was made the restriction on resale 99 years, and every time you resell it, the 99 years starts again, because what was happening at the beginning is they gave someone a 30-year cap. And guess what? 30 years later, they hit the lotto and they sold it for market, and then there was no more affordable unit, and someone won the lotto. So It's a sticky wicket. Architect Peter Hunt, we're going to talk, the conversation is a tale of two plazas. La Cumbra, which is privately owned, I presume. You're talking about putting in streets through there, so I guess they'll have to use eminent domain to grab some land. And De La Guerra, which is city-owned, and there are potential improvements there. Why don't we take a commercial break, come back and walk over to De La Guerra Plaza, and or even, you're probably not familiar with Magnolia Shopping Center. That's on the list. The Lisa Plowman was on the program and said she contacted the property owners and they're interested in housing out there. And they must have some long-term leases there. I don't know if their plan is to do a combination of the shopping center and housing in the back. You probably don't know anything about that, right?
I know a little bit about it, but yes.
Oh. Well, why don't we talk about that when we come back, and then we'll talk about De La Guerra Plaza. Maybe we should just build a bunch of condos there and be done with it. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. My guest, architect Peter Hunt. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.